season two, the finale of season two.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's been a good season. I hope everybody else has liked the previous ones. We've enjoyed it.
Hi, I'm Steve Rick.
And I'm Tim Elliott.
And welcome to the RE of Marketing podcast.
A podcast where we rethink, replay and remark on all good things to do with branding and marketing.
It's been funny listening back, you know, because it's hard to listen to you and I on listening back to the first season, but listening to the second season and everybody who's joined us, it's been super nice. I walk the dog listening to it. And there's been some really insightful stuff that's made me question a lot of things of what I do on what I'm going to do going forward. So, yeah, it's been really good, really good.
It has been good. I think the guests we chose, if that's the right phrase, is or the guests who accepted anyway, have been brilliant actually, because there's a lot of podcast guests that do the circuit, right? They're on all the marketing pods,
yeah,
and we haven't touched into any of that. Maybe old Mark Asquith, but he's a pro in the game anyway, but. They've all been really good conversations, right? And even on re-listening to them, which, like you said, is difficult when you're one of us, I think.
Yeah.
I've learned every time I've listened to one, which has only been twice, if I'm honest. but both of those times, I've learned a new thing or picked up something new. So I hope they have been useful. I hope they've been useful.
I'm sure. I think they've definitely been useful for me. And if they've been useful for you, like you say, hopefully they've been useful to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And thanks to everybody who listened. You know, our numbers have done really well. Really well. Really happy this series.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing very well. Not that we do it for the numbers, if you've listened to Mark.
Not at all.
We're not in it for the numbers, but it is nice that other people have decided to listen that aren't me and him.
Yeah, mental.
Which is good.
Absolutely mental. I mean, we did this for... So have a catch-up, realistically. It's just the stuff that we're discussing in a pub. But it was also, we just wanted to start putting a little bit of a date stamp on those things that we were thinking and those things that we were discussing. And this was a great way to do it. And it's, you know, with your rebites that you've been doing, Tim, it's almost turned into a blogging platform as well, hasn't it?
It has. And it's just like that, right? It's not, although our editor and Charlie and Lightmind have been amazing and Captivate is amazing, it's not a highly polished, highly formatted show. It is just some people having a good conversation about something relatively interesting to most people.
Yeah, and we had some really nice feedback on one of the social media platforms. People saying, actually, it's really nice to listen to a podcast that isn't high polished.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have quick fire rounds, at least in this season.
No. Season three,
just quick fire rounds about cheese.
Big news though, season three is happening, isn't it?
No, it has. Yeah, yeah. I have no doubt that this is what I do now, I think.
Yeah, Tim, that's gonna be your new biog.
Yeah.
Tim Podcaster.
Just Podcaster, yeah. But yeah, so season two has been amazing, but to book that trend, because we like booking the trends in podcasts, we've got a guest that will make hardly any sense. But when you've managed to filter out all the stuff that comes out, there'll be nuggets. But Paul Chapman is he's a good man. He's been marketing all his life. He's particularly British, likes tweed. Bimbles, which is my favourite word. Lives in a village. You can't get much more British. Draw now on a piece of blank paper a British man. I will guarantee you it looks like Paul Chapman.
And then draw a pheasant next to it.
We do love him, and that's why he's our final bonus episode. So we only jest.
Yeah, I love him. He's brilliant.
We only jest.
Do you know what? He's a clever, clever man as well.
He is.
He's a clever man.
Right, so... Without further ado, then, let's get on with that part of the show. He's here, the man of the hour, the bonus episode, the finale of season two, Mr. Paul Chapman. Say hello, Paul Chapman.
Hello, Paul Chapman. The bonus episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Tim makes words up all the time.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
It's because it's a big bonus at the end of season two. You're our Christmas present to the...
Sorry.
Hundreds of people who listen. The hundreds.
That's tremendous. Hello, hundreds of people.
Oh, I was waiting for them to say hello back. They're obviously not going to. This is a one-way medium, isn't it? So what do you do, Chappers? Introduce yourself to these people.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, hundreds. I am Paul Chapman. I suppose in the nuttiest of nutshells, I'm a marketing strategist. I've done a few other bits. I've written a book. I get to speak all over the place, which is very nice that people want to hear my voice. But in kind of simplest terms, you know, people kind of call me in when they are a little bit stuck. And I think it's a combination of being a bit of a marketing geek, a bit of a kind of a roadmap kind of guy, a bit of a strategist. And somebody said to me the other day, which I thought was lovely, that, Paul, you think of the stuff that other people don't think of. And I think there's a bit of that as well. I don't claim to be any kind of creative genius, but I think my brain is occasionally wired differently to some. And that helps me to, I don't know, helps or hinders. It just, you know, I think with a lot of stuff, kind of business marketing, quite often you just need an outside pair of eyes. And if that outside pair of eyes has got a bit of kind of creativity and a bit of kind of difference there, it can actually help to look at a problem with that and go, well, okay, it's not that. You need to do that, turn a little bit, and it's that, and that. So yeah, that's me. It's marketing strategy stuff and a bit of creativity. But yeah, really, it's just trying to help people kind of move stuff forward, really.
Good, good. Well, we've had some other conversations with some other smart people like yourself throughout this season about various topics. Some you know, like Mark Asquith, Paul Ince, Fiona Duncan-Steer. Which has been good. So we thought we'd round off with you. We thought we'd finish off with you at the end of the year, at the end of the season, and do a bit of a maybe what was 2020 for marketing, what could be in 2021. And we figured that because, you know, you're a good planner, you're a good ideas guy, you're kind of sensible and no non-convoluted, there'll be some nuggets in there for the people who are listening. What good bits have you seen this year of marketing? Like, what's worked for people in this year? For people listening in the future, this is December 2020, and we've just had the year of COVID, or the first year of COVID, depending.
Yeah, the first year of COVID, definitely the first year, isn't it? It's not the only year.
Yeah, I mean, it's been madness, isn't it? It really has. I think, yeah, I mean, oh, I don't. I think from one point of view, nothing's changed. You know, we've all seen, anyone that's sort of been in business, been around business, we've all seen this kind of thing before. Perhaps not at the scale, certainly not the cause, but we have kind of seen, you know, kind of businesses take a hit like this. And I think, you know, particularly in the marketing world, I think the good thing, to answer your question, the good thing is it's forced people to stop being lazy. I think, you know, for quite some time, we've all been able to be really lazy because there are loads of different tools. There's loads of different things you can do. It's actually never been easier to market badly, if that makes sense, to kind of put it out. And I think what this has forced people to do, it's two things. It's forced people who haven't needed to market to go and try and market in a way they've not done. You know, people that were, you know, kind of serial networkers. And again, I always get shouted at for this kind of stuff, but nothing wrong with that. But people that have always done that, they've had to find a different way of meeting people. They had to find a way. And that has caused a lot of kind of bad quality noise. People just kind of shouting into the ether because they don't understand how to do it. But I think kind of the positive side is it has forced people to stop being lazy. Because, you know, that whole just kind of chuck it out there and hope, you know, someone will listen, that whole just kind of scream into the ether sort of stuff. You know, I think this, you know, this problem has been coming for some time, and I think COVID has exacerbated that. And I think that, you know, it has the businesses that haven't adapted and changed and actually really thought about their marketing. Because, you know, Tim and I, you and I rant about this, but, you know, my big bugbear is that no one thinks anymore. No one spends any time sitting and thinking about marketing, well, kind of anything, but, you know, particularly in the market, you know, what is the best thing I can be doing? Not the cheapest, not the easiest. What's the best thing I can be doing? And I think, you know, this will kind of has and will force, for want of a better phrase, people to think more about their output, think more about what they do, how they do it, the style of it all, and kind of hopefully, you know, it will push them into a better place where actually we will get kind of better marketing from it, and thus those people that do embrace that will start to get kind of better kind of customers from it, better kind of, you know, their processes will be better because everybody is now shouting into the ether. It's a bit like, forgive me, kind of rambling, but I know whenever we did our book, we wrote the book in 2017, let's say, I think it was. And actually, you know, back then I could, you know, we could get the book. We got it to a bestseller, which is lovely. You could put it on Facebook. You'd spend 50 quid, 300 people would download it. I know 30 would go on to spend 100 quid or whatever it was. It was actually kind of really easy because it was quite different. Now everybody's got a book. There are so many of it. A bit like ebooks when they started, there's so many of these things now. And I think, you know, if people being forced into thinking more deeply about it, I think will be genuine. I think it will be a good thing for kind of all industries.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think, like, it feels a similar answer to other guests we've had, hasn't it, Steve? That people have been forced to rethink some stuff or reconsider some stuff or even kind of change the actions, right? To do, I think it was Fleury's episode, wasn't it, Steve? That was, yeah. We were talking about doing work that matters and doing stuff you're proud
of. I think you've used a really interesting word there, which is considered. And I think people have took more consideration because I think we all started to realise that we're all human again. And that can sound a little bit corny, but when you're wrapped up in business and you're wrapped up in that daily churn of getting the kids to school on time, then you've got a certain amount of hours that you can do before you got to go and pick them up or they're an after school club. And then you come home, you got to get dinner ready. Then there's still emails to go. And that daily churn, all consideration starts to goes out the window. Whereas we all had this reset button, all of us pushed towards us. And it was down to us to go, either we're going to reset ourselves or we're going to be forced to reset. And what I think is really interesting and what I picked up on when you were talking there, Chappers, was, is it better marketing and better messaging that you think started to come out, or is it just better tactics?
I think it's probably all of that. I think it is because, you know, it is, you know, Tim and I kind of, you know, talk about kind of tactics and strategy and kind of better marketing. I think probably all of those things apply. I think we're sort of seeing people, I mean, there are some great examples of them, but I think we're sort of seeing people almost kind of market to less people, so that, you know, so actually go and talk to some people, kind of, you know, do, you know, from me to this group, from me to that group. Yeah. And I think it's a bit of that. And again, it's not everyone, and there'll be a bit of a curve. You know, you'll see those people that are kind of forging ahead with this, and everyone will kind of, you know, kind of come behind or kind of disappear off and die, sort of thing. But I think that it is people that have sort of realized, actually, for whatever reasons, times have changed. I don't like the phrase, but times have changed, as they always do. I've got to do something different. And, you know, we've seen it for a while, you know, and similarly, the tools come. So, you know, things like Bonjour and all those kind of soapbox and all those kind of things, that sort of comes behind or comes with the wave of this more kind of personalized stuff. We'll see kind of the technology kind of facilitate this further. But I think it is the people that think, and look outside to see what, you know, what people are doing. I think there will be a chasm that comes down. So we will see some really good marketing, and there'll be kind of little in the middle, because lots will go that way. Well, probably some will go that way. Lots will go to the bottom end, as it were, or whatever the other phrase is, and keep that shouting into the ether. So I think there will be a chasm, but eventually I think we will see kind of better tactics. We will see, because, you know, the market is broadly big enough for everyone, because it has been kind of forever and a day. And I think, you know, whilst some will go, I think we will sort of see a split, and these guys here will be the ones that kind of win through. And I think, you know, we saw that a bit at the start, is that, you know, normal rules apply here. You know, the people that had loved, treated, respected their list, you know, right at the start of this, they're the ones that are coming out of it better, because they've been able to talk to people and they've kind of understood the value of person to person. You know, exactly said there, you know, we've all got our things and we've all got our day to day. They've understood. The people that have really benefited are those that have loved their list, those that have, you know, kind of treated them well, thought about them, you know, kind of checked in and done all that nice thing. So I've maintained this relationship. So as doors can open again, they can sell, you know, and it's much easier to kind of pivot when you can speak to your list on a not one-to-one basis, but you can talk to them about it. You know, those people that have no relationship with the list, their business model has stopped like that. So they've had to go, right, we're now selling this. If these guys aren't tied into that, it becomes much harder to kind of do that switch. So yeah, I think it's a bit of all three, mate. I think it's, you know, the tactics will get better. And I think that will lead to, you know, kind of better, more successful marketing, but perhaps in sort of smaller batches.
Yeah.
We're in a fortunate time with that though as well, aren't we? Because if, you know, if COVID had come around 20 years ago when mobile phones weren't widely adopted and, you know, email was only just being born and all that, could you imagine? Like, industry would have just frozen. Everything would have just stopped and everybody would have gone, oh, right, yeah, mortgage. You know, everything would have gone into freefall.
Yeah.
And I know as a government, we've been buying ourselves out of situations and furlough schemes and this, that, and the other. And we've got to pay it back over the next 50 to 60 years or 100 years, whatever it's going to be. But without that digital footprint there, we wouldn't have been able to do any of the stuff that we've done. And I think that's really important to remember, actually.
Yeah, I think so. But I do think that there are people that are still in that 20 years ago kind of mentality, still into that mold. Yeah. And again, you know, forgive me, I'm sure I've told the story before, but I was watching a program, I don't know, a year ago, whatever it was, and it talked about this bookshop. And this bookshop was going out of business. And obviously, because it's the media and the press, they're blaming Amazon. You know, Amazon has closed this bookshop. And you think, well, okay, hang on. And you're watching the program and you think, well, what we've got there, there's a lady sat in her bookshop with a reading club. So she has 5, 10, 15, 20 people round the table every week and they have a book club. And actually, whilst they're kind of interviewing, you know, the people in this book club are also saying, albeit kind of slightly sheepishly, oh, yeah, we do buy some stuff off Amazon as well. You know, and yet this woman's shop was shutting. And I think the point that I kind of get to is that actually, if you are sat round the table, holding hands, having kind of intimate conversations with your customers, and people still go and buy from Amazon because Amazon know them better, Amazon know that they want quicker books, they want cheaper books, whatever it is, because, and I think that there is still this, hello mate.
I put a blanket in the living room.
It's on my bed, buddy, it's on my bed. You go and find it.
Oh, that's our first child.
I don't even know if that was, sorry about that. That's awkward. Should have shut the front door. Yeah, so I think, you know, I think, Steve, you are dead right. I think, you know, we are lucky that we are where we are. I think there are some people that are finding out now that they haven't embraced the changes of the last X many years. Yeah. And actually, they're kind of really in the mire, you know, because they haven't considered that. They haven't moved forward with it. And I think maybe this will, again, force them to do it. Think, well, okay, what is my online offering? What is my digital offering? You know, even, you know, what is my relationship with the people that actually do buy from me? You know, because even if I've, you know, if people had had their names and addresses now, that would have helped massively. They could have done loads of different stuff with it, but people don't, because I don't know if it's because it's been so easy before, so kind of all the transactions can be so transient. But you know,
it's a good thing that I think some of the I don't know, some of the stuff that people have dismissed have come back as a real powerful marketing tool. Now, I know your background a bit, Paul, but like you mentioned a couple of times there, your list, right? Your list of people, either prospective customers, like people who are interested, or existing customers, past customers, but the list, right? The list being the important thing. And I think, like stuff like how list generation has been bypassed with social media. It's kind of been bypassed a bit because people follow you and you can get people on there, right? But getting people out of there into a list has gone, I don't know, out of trend. I think these things are cyclical, but the power of that consistent relationship building, consistent communication, consistent relevancy and keeping relevance to your list in whatever channel you want to do it, like, has come back to the fore as a thing you need. And I've seen emails from companies get loads better and come back to the fore. I don't know if that's, hopefully it's a trend that will continue, because having that list of people to talk to, right? A list of people who are kind of interested enough to buy from you, it's super important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I suppose there's 2 points there, kind of, you know, yeah, it is the most valuable thing in any business because it gives, you know, gives you, excuse me, it gives us the ability to go and speak to someone who we know has already put their hand up and showing some kind of interest in what we do. Yes, I can do that on social, but then I'm fighting with everybody else. Even if I'm, you know, even if I'm kind of putting adverts on someone's wall or whatever it is, they're only kind of, they've got to scroll past me. They're only 2 clicks away from someone else. They can, you know, that kind of thing. If I can get stuff onto their desk, into their world, you know, it's a lot less smash and grab now. You know, I say back in the old days, the book, download, boom, that's all you needed. You've got to fight for attention now. You've got to fight to, you've got to, perhaps not fight, you've got to earn their attention. Something has to happen in their world that stops them in their tracks long enough. Now, you know, and again, I go back to this, like, what is the best thing I can do for this? Now, it, you know, it, can I appear on social? Can I appear in, you know, in their inbox? You know, even the inbox is tricky because, you know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of emails being sent every day. But, you know, I have, I'm sure you guys do, but I've got a list of people that if I need to sell something, I can go to them. And again, that sounds kind of cold and blunt about it, but actually I've got a list of people that know, want the stuff I sell because we've done it before, or we've had conversations, da, da, da. It becomes hugely valuable. And I think, you know, the other point is the kind of counter argument. It's not about volume. You know, I think too many people got, perhaps less so now, but in the day they got carried, oh, I've got 20,000 people on my list. Well, look, fine. You know, I mean, I had a previous business, and I have a list of people for that previous business that, if I'm truthfully honest, I don't really use anymore because it's, I don't want to say the wrong sort of people, but with what I do now, it's a very different target market. And that's not to, you know, I don't want to kind of belittle those guys, et cetera, but it is, you know, this is good quality people. And I don't mean that in any rude way, but people that I want, that I know are paying what I want to be paid for the stuff that I do. I want to be able to have their ear. I want to have a way of getting to them. I can do that on social, but it's loads easier for me to turn up in their inbox with a video or whatever it is saying, hey, look at this. And sorry, Steve.
Interesting, because we're almost retracting, aren't we, our marketing efforts? And it's something that I've really noticed through this year, we're scaling back. And the first time that I noticed that we really started to scale back is when the pandemic first hit, and, you know, the first proper lockdown, not that second lockdown, that wasn't really a lockdown.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that. But in that first lockdown, when there was no cars on the road, you know, I live on quite a busy road, and there was probably, I saw 5-6 cars on one day. It was crazy. It felt a little bit like a ghost town, but everybody was going to the local fruit and veg shop. And everybody was going to the local co-op rather than ordering from Tesco's or from Asda. And we started to retract back into our own little communities again. And it started to happen online as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and again, I have no scientific knowledge for this. But I think that kind of catch up. I think this lower end here is going to be about budgets. People that can throw the most money can kind of capture here, which takes a lot of people out of the market. But it gives them the opportunity to go, kind of go up here. And I think, you know, this is someone that Tim introduced me to, Painter Jackets, and I'm sure we've spoken about, but honestly, I can't tell you how much I love hearing from them. I've gone, I've bought the jacket. And again, this goes back into the list because they normally, they make X many jackets, and I'm making numbers, 150 jackets, and it's first come, first served. And everyone is, you know, everyone's kind of getting scared. Some get some, most people miss out. Mm-hmm. So they went to their list, people like me that wanted, so I've put my details in to hear from about them, so they know I'm interested. They've then come to me and said, Paul, we know loads of people miss out on this. So for the next round, we're going to make some more jackets. But actually, if you want to, you can guarantee your jacket by paying this much now. Well, I'm thinking this is the greatest thing in the world because you keep missing out. And that, you know, this is only possible, not just having a list, but having a list that wants to hear from you.
That's they're a great example, right? I'm a big fan of those. And I even recently, one of their examples, I want to dive into the thinking behind Painter Jackets, if we can, in a minute. But the recent one was they're about to launch a corduroy jacket, and they made one in a blue, like a test one in a blue, that they didn't like. right? Just a man's large jacket that they didn't like. So average size jacket, average thing. And they went, oh, we don't like the blue, right? So recently, I think it was last week, they went, hey, we've got one of these. We don't really like the blue, but we figure if somebody wants it, all you guys pay £5 and we'll give all that money to charity. We're not trying to rip you off, right? But some will do a draw and somebody will win it, right? And they raised £6,000, right?
Double digit donation,
right? Yeah. For this one jacket, right? And I think that that's just an example of how well they do stuff, right? How well and engaged that list is, because I'm not very good at maths, but £5 into £6,000 is a bunch, right? It's a bunch of individual people doing stuff, right? And they've, the thing I like about them is that they never once sent an email going, oh, isn't it, you know, sad plinky plunk music, this time is terrible. They've just spoken about jackets. They do jackets, right? They do jackets, they just speak about jackets to people who are interested in jackets. They don't try and be their friend or their business coach or their mentor. They don't dilute that message with any other stuff. Like, they just write to you about jackets if you've asked them to write to you about jackets.
I think that's it. I think this is what kind of Steve said there, and this kind of this retraction of it. There can't be that many people in the world that, you know, want a jacket that is sustainable, that costs not insane amounts, but, you know, more than you could get the same thing for, you know. So actually their target is really small, and they've gone and done that, I don't know, I'm making it, is it the Seth Godin quote, you know, go and find the smallest viable market. And they've just got a really small group of people that love what they do, and they just, they what's the word I'm looking for? They kind of embellish that love. They kind of create that love. And just what they do and how they do it. And I think it's a brilliant model for everyone. And it is. This is kind of interesting because people go, well, I can't do that, I don't know that. But no, it's, you know, getting yourself on these kind of lists and looking and seeing what they do. You know, I ended up watching watching them milling wool the other day, which is, I mean, it's brilliant. I love it. But it's the little things, because, you know, they are saying, this is your jacket. This isn't like, no, because it's dead easy to kind of do it and just show me. But the fact they say, oh, this, you know, this is milling your jacket. This is not some other stuff. This is milling your jacket. And they take you through this whole process from start to finish, from where the wool comes from, where the factory is.
So have you got a jacket, Paul? From
no, so I've done one of these pre-order things. So okay. I ordered a jacket. I mean, it's, I don't know, like £300 or whatever it is. And I ordered that in, I'm going to make it up, September, knowing full well I'm not going to get it till January.
Okay. And what about you, Tim? Have you got
one? Yeah, I'm on the list. I didn't like the last one.
Okay.
But I've done this one, which is actually a red one.
Oh, okay.
Which is,
do you know what's really interesting then? Do you know what I'm really interested with this? Because usually when you go through a purchasing journey, you get to become an ambassador at some point. But actually, you've become ambassadors before the purchase.
But this is, you know,
that's
Michael Owen.
Awesome. That's really good.
Michael Owen is also on this list, if you remember from our episode, right?
Yeah.
And it is, it's just that, that you said, Steve, that scaling back of marketing to go, okay, like, what really matters to this business? We need to sell X many batches of jackets,
yeah,
right? With X many jackets, right? So it doesn't do us well to try and be super entertaining to Oasis tracks on TikTok, because unless we're wearing the jackets, it's not super relevant. Right. They're just talking about jackets, going, hey, we've sold all our jackets. Sorry if you missed one. If you want one of the next ones, here's another jacket. It will look like this. And then go, we're making the jackets. We're in Portugal now. Here's a shop full of wool that we're doing. Like, everything is super specific.
It's really interesting how they've took that brand, though, to people like you two, who are now fully fledged ambassadors, giving testimonials for their work without even having the product. And that is super impressive for brand work.
And I think when you look at this, you look at the journey, because, you know, Tim and I talk about stuff, too much stuff. And at some point, Tim has mentioned this to me. There's this and Hutt Denim. I can't remember.
Yeah, Hire.
Hire. I had a look at them. it was fine, it was nice, but it didn't really kind of capture me. And I look at this, like, from the moment I saw it, the limited jackets, you know, I'm not a massive, I mean, I believe in sustainability, but I'm not, like, kind of hugely eco on this, but the message really struck me, the fact that, okay, well, they don't make the jacket like that. And then what I find is really interesting, whether it's kind of on purpose or not, is all the little bits that they do that, you know, kind of are proper real world, because you'd look at them, you would suggest this is not a marketing engine in any way. No. But these are really astute people, that they are each little part of it is really, really clever. Like they showed a video of their last batch selling out, but it wasn't in a, our last batch has sold out. It's like, look, this is kind of best and worst day, because, you know, we have to do it. We have to start it and stop it manually. So we always really worry about it. Da, 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 da. But so they've got this beautiful video, which is really, really natural, but includes the underlying marketing message of scarcity. It took 9 minutes for us to sell out of everything. Do you want some? And it's just
brilliant marketing.
Yeah,
brilliant
it is. Marketing. It is. And even this wool, so I'm watching this wool come down, and there are people stood there with magnifying glasses and tweezers.
And you're going, I want that wool on me.
Yeah, and it's all these stuff. You know, you look at all kind of good marketing, and the same rules are through everything. It's only about how you do it.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what these guys have done. And it is, yeah.
In terms of tactics, though, to make this the painter episode before we move on to planning, there's like the simplicity of it. Like me and Chappers have infused over the years. For people who don't know me and Chappers, like, we've known each other for a while and done stuff, but we've infused about the simplicity of, like, the Amazon wish list as a tool, right? And currently paint a jacket, the simplicity of it, right, is what we've just discussed, what Steve, you've said, we're being considerate and scaling back the market into what matters, and what Paul said about building the list. They have an email list, they have Instagram and stuff, but their marketing channel is the email list. That's where they sell, right? It's where they engage, it's where you get to, it's the point of their spear is that email list, right? An email, I don't know when email came out. I remember getting my first Hotmail in 95 93, I don't know, right?
But probably still got it as well, aren't you? That's where your naughty ones go to.
Yeah, party boy 87.
I knew it was you. I knew it.
But it's that.
Go look for it on Tinder right now.
It's that simplicity, though, isn't it? Right, it's that. Out of all of the options, right, all of the creative stuff, all of the channels we could do, like, to build a brand focused around doing one thing super well, and having not just us in this podcast, but Michael Owen, who knows infinitely more about brands
than us. Smart guy.
Right, to infuse about it. And we're not the only ones. I think I heard somewhere on the grapevine that their email list is 20 or 30,000 people. Right, they only make a few hundred jackets.
Yeah. And I think you said something that I'm now going to kind of ham up, Tim, but effectively, one of our talks, you'd kind of talked about that actually kind of good marketing is about creating a community that people want to be part of. You know, you look at everything that's been done, all the stuff that we've liked and talked about, from kind of Dollar Shave Club to, you know, the insurance, whatever, that sort of stuff. If you can create, you know, and this is where we kind of back into this, like, you know, what is the strategy here? We want to create a thing, whatever that is, that people want to be part of, you know, and it's as old as time itself, anything that really sells, people want to do, they want to be part of it. They want to be in that. And this is where kind of, as Steve said, actually this retraction of, we will make this group smaller, but we will make this group festooned with people that want to be part of this thing. So actually you're not setting out, they could set out to sell jackets and it might happen, but it will definitely happen if they set out to create a community of people that love jackets.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a thing that, as you and Steve were talking earlier, were pointing to me about the pointed jacket. We both put our name down, right, for a pre-order, right? And I've just given £5 to a jacket that's all right. They're right? It's not that nice. I could have got it, right? But I was... Like, anything they ask me to do, I go, yeah, I'll give it £5 for the jacket. Do you look like? I'm like, yeah, Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I?
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because there's a lot of big brands that have done a very similar thing, but Painter have just done it as a sole thing on jackets for them. But if you look at Nike, for example, with the Nike Air Jordans that they release limited editions of, you know, 1,000 or 2,000, or they've got a real community of sneakerheads, and they've actually, you know, got that brand name of sneakerheads now, who are that engaged that will pay top dollar for that very special thing of that very limited run. Adidas do exactly the same.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of fashion industry do that. You know, Chanel and Milano Blahnik and all those people, they all do it.
Yeah. But there's one thing I think that is a bit of a chapperism, if that's a thing.
Oh, it's definitely a thing. But like, I think you only get told by your doctor.
Yeah.
But there's is available.
There's what is that of your... I think, Paul, you've said something like this in one of our videos, right? But what is this of your industry? Yeah. What is the painter jackets thing of your industry? Because we don't all sell clothes, right? Some of us sell boilers or widgets or things. But what's the thing you can learn from painter jackets and take into your industry? What's the thing they can extract, Mr. Paul Chapman? Question to you.
Yeah, well, I think with anything like this, you know, problems will come if someone just tries to kind of create this word for word. In there, that's not what it is. You know, with any of this kind of stuff, this is where we always get shouted at saying, oh, I can't do that because I'm not Amazon. This is about looking, you know, kind of sitting down and trying to work out what is it that they're trying to achieve? What is the concept behind that? And how do I do it too? So you look at something like Painter. There's a business called Type 2 Detectives, and they are Cambridgeshire, and they do old school camper vans, like just super cool. A guy called Paul runs it, really good guy. And years ago, I forget when it is, they did something called Slam Timber or Slam Tober. I don't really know. But effectively, slamming is lowering a camper van, and they set out to do 30 in 30 days, which, you know, I'd imagine it's quite a profitable thing. So actually, that's a really kind of smart business idea. But they are doing the same thing as Painter. They're creating a community around it. They are creating a thing, an event, a reason, you know, and they had like awards for the person that brought their van from the kind of the furthest way. And they had like kind of skateboards with Slam Timber, and it all sort of joined up brilliantly. But it's exactly the same thing. It's creating an event, create a community. People want to be part of it. People want that badge on the said that, you know, I'm part of Slam Timber or whatever it was. And I think, you know, this is the thing. If you see something, actually, I like what the painter guys are doing. The question you ask is, how do I do that for what I do? Well, what is it they're trying to do? And actually, you know, it is that, you know, producing and creating a community, a feeling, a thing, an event. Do that first, knowing that from that, the outcome is therefore selling, rather than trying to sell stuff and do it now. And, you know, it's that old thing that I'm sure I've, you know, kind of naffed on about before, but, you know, most businesses are kind of getting a customer to make a sale. The really smart businesses are making a sale to get a customer. You know, the sale in Painter was the get my email, and they've got a customer, but only if you do what Painter would do and keep in touch and be interesting, useful and relevant and talk about stuff that you know that person's interested in. And I think with all of this stuff, it is, what is the concept of it? Break it down. Think, well, okay, look, how does that work in my industry? Because it does. You know, across every industry, any industry can do a painter.
Every industry can. And even those where, you know, as you were talking, and as Tim always talks about the boiler and the white box on the wall, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, how would it work for somebody who sells boilers, for example? But actually, what you're trying to do is create a community of people who the last thing they want is their boiler to break down.
Yeah.
No, it's all about that. How do you look after a boiler?
Yeah.
How do you... So you haven't got to buy one from us. We're going to protect you by making sure that your one lasts as long as it can do. And it's buying in on an earlier life cycle, isn't it? And product cycle.
And maybe it comes down to... I'm claiming this phrase because I came up with it years ago when I did an old job, but the gas factor, the giver... factor.
Yeah.
If you create something around that, dead right, like the boiler company, them kind of going, you know, to make sure, I always go back to that same boiler company at the, you know, the end of September, they need to have a, right, guys, winter's coming, here's some things to check.
Yeah. You've got to be on a list. You've got to be on the list to get that reminder.
And it isn't just, you know, people, I think what's interesting, I think people are clamoring for contact now, clamoring for kind of human contact, clamoring for the sort of marketing that Painter is, as opposed to the smash and grab stuff. There is a great opportunity for it. And it is, it's just working out kind of how is it that you do it. And, you know, and it's dead easy for us to sit in. It's not, you know, this is not us saying, oh, it's an easy thing to do. But we are saying, or I'm saying, like, you know, it is a really important thing to do, because if you don't do this, you then almost certainly by default end up in the smash and grab who's got the deepest pockets race to the bottom world. And that becomes really tricky. And I think, you know, that, you know, trying to find a small group of people that really want what you, because not everybody is going to want to pay, I don't know, $5,000 a year to have their boiler service. But there will be a group of people that will want to pay that money, knowing that if the whatnot hits the fan within 12 hours, you'll either have your boiler fixed or a brand new one and everything's up and running. P.S. In the meantime, the moment we get that call, we will send a van out with 7 electric heaters. We will not have you cold.
What's really interesting, and it's something that's highlighted from, which I think has come out of COVID, and it goes back to that retraction and all those different things, but everything that we've talked about there is just about relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you talked on it there, Paul, around people wanting more human interaction again. And what people want is just more of a relationship with people. We don't want ads thrown in front of our face every 2 scrolls down our iPhones or down our Androids or whatever it is. We're sick to death of it. And actually, that's, it leads back to the original question I ask, is are we looking at better marketing or better tactics? Actually, we need to be looking at better marketing. And that's what started to come out through the pandemic, I think.
It's better. It's kind of better business, I think. I think like Mark Ritson says it well, right? Brands are very, very small things in people's lives. Like they don't matter as much as we marketers or the brands themselves think they matter, right? They're quite like, if Painter Jackets go, we're not doing any more jackets, we've done really well, we're going to retire and be artists, you'd be like, oh, but you carry up, like, well,
move on.
You get a different jacket, right? But I think that it's that considerate contact, to frame both of your 2 words in a phrase, right? That is the thing I hope people take out of this year and into 2021, is don't worry, like always consider what contact you're making, like make it considerate, like make it, show people you care. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think just to kind of go back a step there, and we talk about kind of, you know, don't just smash us with ads. You know, I think we have to realize that actually for a lot of people, that starting point, there is this starting point where they've got to put stuff, kind of, they have to just kind of chuck a lot out and kind of hope some sticks. But it's how you do it. What are the things that you do so that when they do scroll, it hits them? And it isn't just about bashing a project, you know. And I look at things like the Royal Navy ads. I don't know if you guys have seen the Royal Navy ads, but, you know, I was born in Blythe, but I was, you know, made in the Royal Navy and that sort of thing. You think, actually, these kind of things, there are these ads there that, you know, that are very clever. They hit you off the bat. They earn the attention. And what it's all about is way down the line. And actually, you know, it's, I think, you know, this is where it is not, well, it's certainly not me saying, look, you know, don't do the socials, don't do da-da-da-da-da, but just be more considered. Realise that people want something different. Put some more thought into it. And actually...
Do you think it's becoming a bit of a wash now, though, Paul? Because I do, personally. Every other ad has almost like a purpose-driven marketing behind it, or it looks like it's just been shot by Steven Spielberg and all they're trying to sell is a bath bomb at the end.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there going, actually, it's all starting to look similar again. And the stuff that's starting to stand out is actually the more cheesy end of stuff now.
Yeah, I think it's people are, again, back in, people aren't thinking, are they? Because they're seeing it all happen and they're just following the crowd. They're following the crowd. So actually, you know, different doesn't become different. It's like that book, Black Swan. I don't know if you guys have read Black Swan. I can't remember who's read it now, but the very briefest thing is that until, you know, everybody knew swans were white until they found black ones in Australia. And as soon as they found black ones in Australia, you know, the possibility of a purple swan becomes
yes.
possible. So it's kind of, and it's that kind of thing. It's like, you know, everybody sees the same thing, sees the same thing, so it can't be any different until it's a bit different. Oh, it's there. And then everyone kind of follows that cycle sort of thing. And I think, you know, people, I think you're dead right. And I think, you know, again, back to Michael Owen's blog at the start, the what was it called, Tim? I can't remember. There was, yeah, 50 odd, but there was that article that showed that all those major brands had just done the exact same video.
Yeah.
And I think you are right. I think there is a wash with stuff. I still think there are opportunities for people to cut through, but they've got to think. The thinking needs to be really, really active to think, well, okay, I'm looking at this now. I'm seeing all these adverts the same. I have to do something different. I can't just join that bandwagon.
Yeah. I think you've hit upon the thing. So I've Googled it because I'm not smart. But like the definition of consideration, right? So me and Steve have, you know, we like purpose-driven thing, but if it's real, right? If it has, like we defined and discussed with Michael Owen in episode one, like if it's actually meaningful, right? And meaningful was that. And he had, went on to say, you can test it if you put it through kind of judgment and comparison. And Fleury, who does purpose-driven brand, but can prove it makes an impact, right? You've got real proof that it's purpose-driven, right? And what Steve says there, referring to that people think it's cool to put that message away, but consideration is a definition, is carefully thought, typically over a period of time. And I think it's that, right? Has it been carefully thought over a period of time, or just going, oh, it'd be nice if we put that we support the local cats on it?
Yeah.
Like it's that consideration, right? It's a depth of thought. It's a different level of thought that has stuck out from this first half of conversation, right? If you consider, like properly take time to consider it, what you're going to do, the effect should be better. And it should only appeal to people who believe what you believe, to hark back to Simek, right?
Yeah.
And it just becomes a lot easier if you sit and think about something, like properly think, like, what is the best thing I can do here? You know, I mean, that real basics. Who are these people? What do they want to know? What's going on? What do they need to hear about? Like, what's the best way I can do it? From there, kind of everything becomes easy because, you know, well, actually, no, it isn't going to be this. I'm going to do this. And that's going to lead to this. And that. And it's that thing at every point. And I think, you know, it's back to the start of the conversation. I think we have just got lazy. And lazy in doing the same old stuff we've always done, and then perhaps even worse still, doing the stuff that everybody else is doing, but without any thought. You know, there are lots of people that shouldn't be doing social, shouldn't be doing direct mail, shouldn't, you know, whatever it is, but people are doing it because everyone else is. And actually they need that real thought. And is this the right thing? And, you know, and take loads of different views. You know, I look at the stuff I do, and I'll look at, I don't know, these guys and that and this, and I like that bit and not this bit and that bit. Why are they doing that? Well, okay, let's do something like this. And I think it's my massive bugbear, but people just, there just isn't enough thought. And that just creates noise and nonsense, really.
Yeah. I think so. So to head towards the end of this episode, right, let's start looking forward. Right. What, like, we've got a new year coming up. It's 2021. Right. And I know one of your pillars of your strength, Chappers, is having a plan, having a strategy, right? Like doing that thought. What do people need to focus on? Is there anything that you would say coming up following this year that has been a bit of a weird one? Right. So they're not starting from a place of incredible joy, I imagine.
Yeah.
Right. And satisfaction, right? What do people need to do going forward? What should they do come January?
I mean, I think, I don't know, being cheery as ever, I think it's going to get a lot worse. I think business is going to have a really tricky few months. You know, furlough and that sort of thing have been excellent and that, but we are at some level kicking kind of cans down the line. I think, you know, we will see more, I think, redundancy. I think we'll see kind of more tricky. I think we'll see, you know, more self-employed kind of coming in and kind of necessitate that. But I think, you know, I think we are in some genuinely tricky months, but I think there are still plenty of people making money, plenty of people that want to spend, plenty of people that want to, you know, that are just kind of carrying on as normal. And I think, you know, in sort of every sector, whether it's B2B, B2C, I think there is still things you can do. I think, again, I have to say this because it's me, but now possibly more than ever, without a step-by-step plan, without the roadmap, without the idea of what you're going to do, I think you're going to end up in real pain. And, you know, financial pain, I think that kind of headspace pain. I think it is, you know, if you don't know what you're trying to achieve, I think it's going to really hurt over the next few months because, you know, there is more noise than ever before. There is more low quality noise than ever before because of all the things we kind of spoke about at the start. And I think there'll be a lot of people, if they don't have a clear, concise plan, who will join that noise, and it'll just hurt. It'll send them nuts. And I'm not kind of the right way of saying it. In fact, you know, I think it will, if people haven't got a really clear picture of what they need to be doing, it is going to hurt. And I think, you know, that helps in kind of, you know, several ways. One, because if you think, well, okay, I am trying to create a group of people in whatever format that I want to be part of. And that's not necessarily kind of the warmth kind of thing, but, you know, they want to be a part of, you know, how do I do that? Right. This step, these are the things I can do. One, it means you can do it. You can actually take proper action rather than doing that kind of sit at your desk thinking, what the hell's going on? And two, because you've then got that, you can almost kind of switch off until the end of that process because you have to see it through. And then you can get to, well, okay, what worked, what didn't, what do I need to do about it? And you can then look at all these pain points. But if you haven't got a process to follow, you're going to be scattergun marketing. You're going to be piecemealing stuff, trying to do stuff without ever really working out what's going to work, what isn't, and then what to do about it. And I think, you know, because there's going to be so much extra noise, because people are, you know, a lot of people in real trouble, bless them, and are going to come from, you know, perhaps, you know, kind of some really kind of difficult times and be, you know, trying to get out there again, I think, you know, without a really clear set of steps, it's going to be difficult. And this isn't, you know, just to be clear, this is not some kind of 500-page plan, then, you know, because no one ever looks at that. This is really simple. All right, who are these perfect people? And again, this is hopefully far too basic for everyone listening, but, you know, if you haven't got a really, really crystal clear picture of who is the perfect person, because not all customers are created equal, who is that perfect person? What is going on in their world? How does the thing that I sell help that? What is the best way that I can go and communicate that, you know, with that in place and just kind of work it through? Because I think genuinely without it, I think it's going to be some really, really tricky months ahead because it's just going to get noisier. And it's like anything, when, you know, when things are tough, it's tough going. And actually, if you haven't got some guidance, if you haven't got that overarching roadmap, it crushes your head. And I think the more it crushes your head, the harder it becomes, the more it crushes your head. And yeah, you end up in a heck of a place.
About taking the bull by the horns, isn't it? It's either you're waiting for what's going to be dealt to you or you're going to create what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, as business owners, and I know some people are business owners, some not, but, you know, in any kind of business, you know, where it is your responsibility to move it forward, you have to play what's in front of you, you know, and it's all right.
I was just going to say about both of you, like I read a thing the other day that I wrote in my notebook to bring up, and I think it's apt to bring up at this point. But it's about what you were saying, Bo, about the most important, do the most important things, like find out who the best person to go is, like the best way to communicate. And Steve, what you said again about scaling back, right? This was, I can't remember who it's from. I want to say Mark Ritson, but I don't know if it was. But it was some marketing luminary type guy that I heard. But it says planning for the next year, right? It's super, super simple. He says you should answer four things. Like, what are you trying to achieve in 5 years' time? And with that in mind, what do you need to achieve by the end of 2021? And then with that in mind, what do you need to achieve by the 30th of June, 2021? And with that in mind, what do you need to do first? Make a list of the 10 things you need to do first and do the most important first. He says, that's it. 12 year, like a 12 month plan, just answer those questions and you will be all right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, chappers are like that. I'll save it for the podcast.
I think it's bang on. And I think, you know, someone asked me the other day, you know, what was, you know, what's the thing? I think, you know, if it was gun to my head, I'd be saying, you know, start as soon as you can and find, depending on what it is, find the people that you do. And for lots of people, you know, there are some kind of, you know, people that need thousands and thousands of customers. For a lot of the people we work with, 100 would be perfect. 50 would be fine. Well, at that level, go and find them. Names, addresses, phone numbers. Who is the person? Not the business. You don't sell to a business. You sell to a person in the business. You know, we did a work with a design guy, and I said, look, you know, in simple terms, not enough people know you exist. You know, and we've done, I mean, you know, with a lot of the customers, we'll do some direct mail piece. He's done some direct mail piece stuff with that. And actually, this is, you know, it's with a letter that goes out. I set him, go and find 20, 30, because it's good to kind of get little chunks, 20, 30 of the perfect people, and then go and tell them you exist. It's not a sales pitch. It's a really nice thing where you say, this is me. I do stuff for people like you. That's why I'm getting in touch, you know. This is me showing you what I do. You may have it covered, but I want you to know I exist. And actually, and that massive, that kind of effort at the start then means the follow-up is super easy, super cheap again. Because yes, yeah, this guy, we've spent some money on some direct mail, but I don't know, let's say £5 a person, 20 people, so £100. Now we can now go back to emails and phone calls and, yeah, because the follow-up becomes much easier. But I think, you know, for a lot of people, not always, and I apologize, I'm skipping around it, but for most of the people I kind of talk to, they simply do not have enough people that know they exist, and they don't have the ability to, they don't have the control of the conversation. They are waiting for that person to happen across them on LinkedIn, hopefully see something on kind of Facebook, whereas you want to be in control of this conversation to go out to this person, say, this is me, this is what I do. You might have it covered, but effectively, until you tell me to get lost, I'm going to keep reminding you I'm there. And again, this becomes this great plan because you have this, there's an awareness bit, there's some follow-up, and this, you know, we just push towards a phone call. And it is, it's super simple, it's super, it's low impact, it's non-aggressive, it's not in your face, but it's a really simple of, look, this is, you know, here's a thing to get your attention, followed by, I forget what it, but let's just say, you know, it's a video that says, look, thought I put a face to a name, it was me that sent you the thing, da, 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 da. A bit later it is that, hey, look, you know, just somebody said something nice about it, here's a case study of what we do, da, 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 da. And it all pushes to the point of, well, actually, you know, just thought I'd pick up the phone and say hi. And, you know, this, now there are 20 people that he knows by what he sells that he now has a relationship with, that he can then just keep nudging along and nudging on. And I think this is what I would mean by kind of create that plan, is that actually just make it a really simple set of steps. And if you do this for, you know, 20 people again and again and again, you will find out that A, yes, it is the right people. 20 people say, look, thanks, it's not us. Well, fine, we find different people. But actually what you find is, you know, if 20 people, if he does that every quarter, this won't work, so math, he'd have, and did a few more, he'd have 100 people by the end of the year that he could email that know that he knows buys what he sells.
Yeah. There's no better time than to start now, is there?
No, it is. It's super. And I think, you know, a lot of people are perhaps a bit nervous when they hear this sort of thing. Say, oh, well, I don't know all this kind of stuff. Well, look, nothing's gone wrong. Nothing's wasted. Nothing, you know, you can start now. You know, even people that have had a list and have kind of neglected them for X many, well, look, go back. You know they're the right sort of people. You can still go back and say, hey, look, it's been ages, you know, I won't bore you the details, but you may have moved on, but I thought I'd say hello, or whatever it is. Just, you know, I think we've all sort of said it tonight, is that, you know, this community, this relationship piece, you know, and, you know, this relationship piece is across the board. You know, Amazon have a relationship with me, the same as kind of, you know, the guy that fixes my bike has a relationship. They have a very different, but they're still trying to cultivate a relationship because they know what I like. They know what I want to buy. You know I want stuff quick. They know I'm happy to pay more to have stuff quick. You know, so they do know all this sort of stuff. So everybody is, you know, all the kind of the smart guys are trying to create a relationship, whatever the right phrase is, in their transaction, because that's what keeps me going to them and not to someone else.
I think you've also got to have a really good relationship with yourself. You've got to be able to ask yourself those questions. And I think a lot of people hide away from it. Yeah. So you mentioned something earlier on, which was X amount of customers, you know, we don't all need hundreds. We don't, some of us might need 10. If you can be that honest with yourself, say, I want to need to get to this much money to be able to live, to be able to work, you know, to look after the family, to provide, to support. And then there's also this other affluent number, which is I'd love to be that because then I can afford to get a Tesla or whatever it is. As long as you wear that out and you work out your product or your service costs against it, it will tell you how many people that you need to engage with. And you, it could be as little as one. It could be as many as 50. It could be 10,000, but at least you know. And you can have that relationship with yourself to go, how do I engage 10,000 people? Or how do I engage 1 to 5 people?
Do you know what? It is a really good point. I mean, I've made so many mistakes. We should do a podcast about just how many kind of mess ups I've done, really. But one of the biggest was actually trying to, is this it? Is that what it is? One of the biggest was trying to run a business that I simply didn't want. Yeah. I was trying to run a business that I sort of felt I ought to want, but I actually didn't there. And I think you make a really good point that actually when you can be that honest with yourself, say, actually, look, what do I really want out of this? You can then make the decision because, you know, you say, well, this is what I want. This is the amount of money coming in. There, you know, do I get 10 people to pay me 1,000 or 1,000 people to pay me 10? And actually, it's no difficult. It's no more difficult to do either way on this. But it is that, honestly, because you can think, well, okay, do I want to do lots and lots of work for low or less work for high? And you know, once you've asked yourself that question, it's a really good point, Steve, that actually it becomes much easier because, well, actually, well, I will do this or I will change that and I will go for a higher price point. Or, you know, it's one of the things that I realized a long time ago. I remember I was doing a thing and someone else was doing a thing and I was doing much more and he was charging 10 times as much as me.
He was 10 times better though, wasn't he? Let's be fair.
Probably. It'd be hard to argue against that. But, you know, and it's, again, it's one of those lessons that I wish I'd known right at the start is that you can charge whatever you want. Yeah. You know, all three of us are probably wearing watches. I mean, Tim's is probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 grand. You know, and you and me are on like £5 Casio, Steve. But you know, people will pay.
Mine I got for my birthday when I was 8.
Out of a Kinder egg.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, and this is it, you get to choose. One of the brilliant things is you get to choose who you want to sell to. But you can only do that if you have that conversation with yourself and say, well, okay, what do I really want? You know, my business changed kind of massively as I had kids and kind of school runs and school drops. And, you know, my wife, she works for a big business and, you know, so she can't really be very flexible. I therefore have to be flexible. So the amount of time I can work is much smaller. You said at the start, you know, kind of all that sort of stuff. And actually for a while that was really stressful, but then I kind of made the change. Well, okay, I'll just charge more, or I'll charge it differently. So actually I'm not going to do this stuff, I'm now going to do this stuff. It's the same kind of stuff, but you know, you kind of charge differently for it. And like I say, once you have that conversation, you can say, well, look, okay, I need to get this much money doing in, do I, which of the x many ways do I want to do that?
Yeah,
it's taking the time to consider the situation, right, to do some diagnosis, to understand what the situation is. And without that level of understanding, or to use your language, Paul, that time to think, right? You can't, that's where strategy comes from. Having the right strategy comes from that level of understanding. Like if you just jump in with, oh, I'm going to do, it's a new year, I've got to do all the stuff. Like you're missing the important bit, right? Strategy comes from diagnosis, technically, like in official marketing language. And they're the two most important bits. What you do with that information should become clear if you've got the right strategy after thinking about it for a bit.
Strategy comes from knowing where you want to get to. Yeah. And do you know what? That is the base level of any strategy. I know there'll be a lot of people who listen to this and think, oh, strategy, that's a 30, 40 page document that's, you know, got terms of reference in it and things like that. Because, you know, if you go to business colleges and stuff, that is what you are taught. Well, and it's not their fault.
No.
But actually a strategy can be one sentence if it needs to be. And it's just about where are you trying to get to?
The students that I lecture to at Nottingham Uni have to do a 14,000 word marketing plan in the first semester. I was like, I don't know if I've ever written 14,000 words.
It's like an intro for me. I've got that many words. Yeah.
Yeah. any final questions from you, Steve, for Mr. Chapman, before we wind it up?
No, I do you know what? I've really enjoyed the conversation. It's not...
Try not to sound so surprised, mate.
Well, you know, I did say to Tim, really, tonight is...
He's to no one else. Someone else.
No, do you know what? I absolutely... I love that you've come on and talked about lists and it's Santa's time of year. It's so nice. You're like the Santa Claus of lists, Paul.
I don't know what to do with that.
I think you've given some really good thought and some really good takeaways. Mm-hmm. And that whole relationship thing, I think we should have you back on in another series just to talk around relationship management.
Yeah,
because it's a thing that it's completely forgotten about all the time. But as you said earlier, people get to a sale, it sells, and then they go, "Thank you, I've done my job."
Yeah. What I liked, I'm going to echo that, because the point I've circled, along with consideration, which we've talked a lot about, is a word you said, well, a phrase you said, is get control of the conversation. I was like, that's good. How flipping hell do you do that? Right, but it's good. So you will have to come back in and we'll unpack the gritty details of relationship building. But any final thoughts or words of wisdom or just...
You know what? It all comes back to thinking. And that's kind of particularly tedious, and that's not really kind of a big one. But, you know, like I say, like Steve's point at the end, they think, well, actually, if people really sat and thought, what do I want out of this business? They'd probably be different. And, you know, there's no blame here because we've all done it. You know, I started a business because I kind of didn't want to do what I did, and I just went into a thing. And at no point did I sit and think, oh, why am I trying to do? What do I? Yeah. And I think, you know, any thought makes a massive difference. And, you know, my old boss, really astute guy, anytime there was an issue, he'd call us all in. It was kind of the inner team, and that was 5-6 of us. Regardless of what we were doing, like, right, come down here, we're sitting in his office, and we'd have 10 minutes on that issue. And I think this is the interesting thing, is that, you know, this is not sit down for days. This is some, you know, and again, now's a good time for kind of Steve's point there. Now at the end of year, it is a good time for people to think, look, what do I really what do I think people think I ought to want? What is it I really, really want? What does I want my life to look like? Because whether you've got a job or whether you've got a business, it is only there to facilitate a lifestyle. If it's not doing that, then you've got to ask yourself some serious questions. But I think at any level, just sit, what is really important to me? And then think, well, look, what's the best way of doing that? You know, there are plenty of people that, you know, like I said, they'll make one sale a year because that's all they need. You know, or they'll think, actually, no, I want to do. Now I can think of a couple of financial advisors. One guy loves, I don't know the right way to say it, forgive me, he loves kind of the shop floor aspect. He wants to get down there and help people. Not millionaires, want to help people do that. Brilliant. I know another one that goes, no, I just prefer to do less work and take more. Well, look, it's fine. And every industry can have that. But I think, you know...
But it can be small as well, Paul, can't it? You know, it doesn't have to be on that big organisation level. I've got a friend who's had a really tough time through the pandemic with the business because they were in events. And actually she went back to she's doing really, really well now. Like I had a text off the other day and she's made more money in the last 3 weeks than she did in another company over the last 2 years.
Brilliant.
But the reason for that is because she went back to that one thing that she wanted to get from her business. And all she wanted to do was make people smile. And that was the only little nugget that she could keep hanging her hat on to was, yeah, I want to make people smile. So she created experiences in the house that made people smile. And they're selling out like nobody's business.
Yeah. Which is great. And it's just that tiny thought. And I think you're dead right. I think it's too easy to think this is a massive thing. It's not. It's not. Just really, you know, what do you really want to do? What do you really want in your life? And I think, you know, doing some numbers, as you said, that's really important. You said, well, actually, I don't need millions. You know, I started out wanting to be a millionaire because that was the cool thing. Well, I'm going to be a millionaire. And actually, it took me a while to work out, actually, I don't want it. I mean, if it comes along, great, but I've seen the work that needs to go in to make that happen. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm working for. It's great those that do, but I'm not that. So actually, I'm very happy with less. I'm very happy with more time. I'm very happy with kind of more freedom on it. But it, I think it almost becomes it. it's quite a brave person that stops and asks and that. You know, I think kind of particularly in what sort of we do, it is all that more bigger, more bigger, more bigger. And actually, I think it kind of comes to quite a brave person to stop and think, well, actually, I don't need that. I don't want that. I'm going to have my life. And actually, I need to earn this. There are two ways of doing that. Well, there's 10,000 a pound or a pound or whatever the other end is, or there's some in that middle that, but you only kind of get that with that thought. Think, right, that's it. Now, what's the best thing to do? I'm going to make people happy. So that's the thing. Right. Here's how it all works out.
Good. What a lovely place and a lovely thought to end. So this is the last episode before 2021. So a good time for all that. We'll make sure it gets pushed out. But where can people best find you and get hold of you, Paul Chapman, if they need to?
Strategy sessions on YouTube. It's You and Me there. You'll probably find me kicking around LinkedIn a bit. Probably there, or at paulchapmanuk.com. I'm occasionally on the website there as well. And people, but if people have got questions, there is a place on there where they can drop in and ask them if I can be used in any way. And I'm very happy to help where I can.
Brilliant. We'll put all those links in the show notes for people to get hold of. But thank you very much, Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, guys. Enjoyed that.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was Mr. Paul Chapman.
Checking a list, checking it twice. That's all out of my head.
If you're naughty or not. Let's not do a singing outro ever again.
It is Christmas, but it is Christmas.
It is Christmas. It is Christmas, actually. But there was some good nuggets there, I think. Chappers has definitely mantras that he likes to stick to, and it was good to have a give him a platform to get those out a bit deeper, like, and understand that. I liked the word considerate or consideration, because I think it has an extra depth to it. I liked the scaling back part that you put
retracting.
In.
Retracting, yeah.
And the painter bit was good. Well, I mean, like what you said, like how to... Surely having people who are not customers be fans of your brand is the holy grail, right?
Yeah, be a brand ambassador and you haven't even purchased yet. There's not many companies that get to that level of following.
No.
There's not many at all.
There's not many people at all. So plenty to chew on for this time of year, for heading into early next year. I think some really good bits.
I think that's a really good bit of advice from Paul, though, before you go into next year, or while you're listening to this in between Christmas and New Year's, or it might be the 1st, 2nd, 3rd of January. But just sit down and make a note of where you want to get to.
Yeah.
And put down how much money you want to make, and put down how many customers that may be, and just have a good think. It sounds so simple, and it's quite often true that the simplest ideas are the best ideas. So why don't you... look at writing that down and committing to it and seeing if you can make it work.
Yeah. Simple steps to move forward, I think, is solid advice for us all.
Yeah.
Solid advice. Well, that was season two, Mr. Rick.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Flying through.
I can't believe it's over and done with already. It feels like we've been recording it for ages.
Yeah, flying through them. We've got season three coming up early 2021, where, shall we tell people about the plan?
Yeah, let's tell them about the plan.
So the next season, season three, will be back to me and Steve discussing what we've learned from these conversations. So these conversations, rebikes we've done, all the guests and stuff, all the conversations that we've had. If you look back on I don't know if you can, but we can look back on our show analytics, and mine and Steve's episode on marketing and brand are still topping up to that list, which is nice. So you have listened to us, which is good. But we want to really deep dive on what we've learned. And then the plan going forward is to, yes, we'll bring some new people on, but to keep going deeper in conversations about topics with people, because we've chosen these people not because they will give us loads of reach, not because they're super famous, but we admire them. Like, yeah, we look forward to them. We learn from them.
I think the thing that I've really took away from, you know, not just from these 10 episodes that I've done in season two, but from your rebite stuff as well, you know, there must be 25 different conversations that have took place. The bit that I've really took away from all of it is, we're not talking about marketing anymore. We're talking about being human and all these extra things that fall through into being marketers and how we perceive it and how we carry it forward. And I think being able to deep dive into how that affects us as marketers is really interesting.
It's the stuff. I know it's not, you know, there's been some practical marketing bits. Yeah. We had Joe the copywriter on, which Chappers is kind of practical. He's got good ideas, right? But the stuff that have come out in the conversations, because we've left them open, because we've gone a bit deeper, we've gone off topic a little bit from whatever we started at.
I think what's really interesting, as you as listeners probably won't realise this, but it's not as if we go in with a question list with these conversations. We go in with an overarching theme, quite possibly, because some the people we're talking to have a, you know, we've invited them on for a reason. But the conversation flows. And what we've found throughout the last 10 episodes, even with Chappers episodes there, is actually everything comes back down to purpose.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how it all works.
You know, it comes back to the same thing. And those things, right, those themes, right, being like thinking, consideration, diagnosis, whatever you call it, right, mm-hmm. Something that matters, doing something that matters, call it purpose, call it brand, call it meaning, don't mind, right? But that extra depth, those recipe of things that keep coming up, right, that keep coming up throughout all of the episodes are the stuff that makes people good marketers. It gives us something to use our voices for, right? And like we said in Fleury's episode, I think we either get paid to give people voices or have voices of our own, and it's important what we do with them. And that isn't how to use Facebook ads. That isn't how to write the good blog titles that get you more clicks, right? That doesn't matter, right? It's the stuff before that. It's the meaning in the message. And the message always beats the media, which is why we've been the least practical marketing podcast on the face of iTunes, I imagine.
Yes, I think we are. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
But it's good. But we'll be back anyway, early 2021, with more deliberations and deep dives into these topics. So if you are one of the hundreds of people that have listened,
actual hundreds,
like multiple hundreds,
and we haven't done it for that at all, as we said at the beginning of this, not at all.
No,
we were doing it for ourselves. But it's so nice to have you on board.
It is. And if you know, it's kind of for you as much as it is for us. So if you've got any kind of questions or queries or topics you want us to answer or delve into, we'll have another 10 hours or so of audio goodness coming at you in the
And please don't think when I say we did it for ourselves, I didn't mean it wasn't for you, the listeners. Of course it's for you, for the listeners, but we started it to be able to talk to other like-minded people.
And it's good. It's good. You know, it's cathartic. I've learned something from every conversation, even if it is with Chappers. So,
yeah, with his ferret next to his feet.
But it was good. It was good. Thanks for the. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you.
Have a good new year to all the listeners. And yeah, we'll see you in 2021.
Peace.